ladies and gentlemen. The Conservative Daily Podcast is back. And now your host, that seems to know just about everything about politics, Max McGuire.
Welcome back to Hour 2 of the Conservative Daily Podcast. Again, Open Line Friday, 888-441-1121. Had a little bit of a dyslexic moment there. 888-441-1121 if you want to join the show. Talking about the insurrection that wasn't. Talk about the other craziness going on in the Capitol. Congresswoman Boebert referred to it as Fort Pelosi. I love that name. Here's a clip of Nancy Pelosi. I think she's drunk. I can't prove it. I think she's drunk. I can't even explain it. Ms. Bruce, so let's just play it. It's cut number 6.
In order to open these doors, we do not say open sesame. We say open Biden. That's our magic word. Open Biden. I love it.
Play that again, Ms. Bruce, and turn the volume up if you can a little bit. Cut number 6. Open.
In order to open these doors, we do not say open sesame. We say open Biden. That's our magic word. Open Biden. I love it.
What does that even mean? What does that even mean? I get that that's taken out of context, but it's hard to imagine a context where that makes sense. I just can't see it. She's obviously, yeah. Tim on the YouTube comment section says she often sounds like she's just downed a gallon of wine. Yes. I imagine that if I downed a gallon of wine, I'd probably sound a little bit like that too. Doesn't make a whole lot of sense. That's the same event yesterday that Joe Biden offered to take questions and then the White House just cut off the feed. So if you want to know how that event went, you had drunk Nancy saying that open Biden is the new open sesame, and you had Joe Biden begging to take questions, but his handlers wouldn't let him do it. Okay, that's the leadership. That's the leadership we have, I guess. So we have another cut. This one pisses me off, and we're gonna talk tomorrow. The episode tomorrow is gonna be about morality of the COVID-19 vaccine, not whether it is a good idea to get it, the morality behind it, because what we've learned from studying it is that the Johnson & Johnson vaccine specifically, but also Moderna and Pfizer, both over the course of production and testing have used cells that can be traced back to aborted children. So we're going to be talking about that tomorrow, the morality of it. Because the Catholic Church has come out against the Johnson & Johnson vaccine. It's a really interesting philosophical, moral argument, discussion. But here, Jen Psaki is asked whether Trump deserves credit for the vaccine getting out. Whether you like it or not, what Donald Trump did last year, no president has ever done before, because no one ever thought it was possible to do, to actually develop a vaccine and get it released that quickly. Here is the response from Jen Psaki on whether or not Donald Trump deserves any credit. Spoiler alert, she doesn't think so. Let's play cut number 4.
You are following some of the same playbook here. So does the prior administration deserve some credit for laying the groundwork?
Which ones are we following?
Well, for instance, former Trump HHS Assistant Secretary Admiral Brett Giroir has said that you're following 99% of the playbook they created on vaccines. He has said that the prior administration deserves more credit here for at least getting the ball rolling on some of these.
I don't think anyone deserves credit when 500,000 people in the country have died of this pandemic. So what our focus is on, and when the president's focus is on when he came into office just over a month ago, was ensuring that we had enough vaccines. We are going to have them now. We had enough vaccinators and we had enough vaccine locations to get this pandemic under control. There's no question, and all data points to the fact that there were not enough of any of those things when he took office. We are open-eyed about the challenge we continue to live under, and that's why he has been focused every single day and doing everything possible to get the pandemic under control. But those were...
So last year, Joe Biden said we wouldn't have a vaccine until this fall, this winter. And the fact that he got vaccinated before he even took office... Still not willing to even give Trump any credit. If you listen to what she said, I don't think anyone should get credit when 500,000 people have lied, have died. Ooh, that was a Freudian slip. 500,000 people have died. Just so dishonest, just so evil. These really are evil, evil people. Yeah, Carl in the comment section saying Trump didn't invent COVID. No, he didn't, but they certainly love to claim that he did. So if you have any thoughts on any of this, 888-441-1121 is our call-in number. We have a few more cuts to get through. Here's a cut. So we played yesterday about Joe Biden calling Texas and Texans Neanderthals. Here is, I kid you not, here is a clip from the White House briefing of a leftist reporter actually encouraging Joe Biden to up the rhetoric. So like calling his opponent subhuman wasn't good enough. He actually wants Joe Biden to go even further. Let's play cut number two.
Go ahead.
Thank you, Jen. You mentioned earlier on masks. You referenced the president's frustration and exasperation with people who are not following the science. It would appear that notwithstanding, there are still millions of Americans out there who are not following the science, certainly in places like Texas, Mississippi, South Carolina, and other places. So I'm wondering, why doesn't the president consider ratcheting up his rhetoric beyond Neanderthal and personalizing his concern? Why doesn't, for example, why doesn't he think about saying, folks, here's the deal. If you don't wear your mask, people are going to die because of you. That would certainly get people's attention.
Well noted. I will say the president has been clear that if people wear masks for 100 days, 60,000 lives could be saved. And he has been clear. He did a whole PSA during the Super Bowl about it, about the benefit and impact of mask wearing. He also, though, does not believe that people of any state or any American should be hurt by the guidance of their leadership. And so that's why he's spoken directly to the American people. We all have, or we all are trying to, about the impact of mask wearing, of social distancing, and of taking the vaccine when people can.
It's funny because she accidentally made it seem like he has spoken directly to the American people, when in reality, he refuses. He refuses to do a press conference. Absolutely incredible stuff. Mr. Bruce, I'm going to send you another clip where Jen Psaki was asked to whether or not there is a crisis at the border. I just sent it to you over Messenger. If you can pull that up, I'll lead into it. There's absolutely a crisis at the border. There is no doubt about it. But the Biden administration is just willful ignorance, right? They don't want to, I can't hear you. Like, let all the migrants in. They refuse to even say that it's a crisis. They're not even pretending that what's going on down there is a crisis. Mr. Producer, do we have that ready? If we have that ready, you can go to it. Really stunning stuff. Stunning stuff that, like, at least admit it. Like, yeah, there's a crisis and we're working on it. But it reminds me of that meme where there's just a dog sitting at a table and the whole building's on fire and he's just drinking coffee and saying, this is fine. That seems to be the entire Biden administration's playbook on this. Mr. Producer, let's go ahead and play that video.
House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy, he's requesting a meeting with President Biden about this issue. He's also asking President Biden to acknowledge the crisis. Will President Biden take that meeting? And I'll ask it again. Will he acknowledge that there's a crisis?
Well, first, the president and this administration's focus is on digging out of the dismantled and inhumane immigration approach of the last administration. And that's why the president has proposed an immigration bill that would not only address the root causes that Leader McCarthy referenced in his letter, but would move beyond the policy of funding ineffective border walls by investing in smart security at ports of entry, and would also create a pathway to citizenship. And we would welcome the openness or desire to engage on that from the leader or any Democrat or Republican who wants to have a conversation about a constructive path forward. Go ahead.
A couple of follow-ups if I can.
So, again, will not say that there's a crisis. And as I said, Mr. Bruce, put up my screen. This is the meme that every day the Biden administration reminds me of. Put up my screen, Mr. Producer. This is the dog, as I just said, the dog sitting at the table, drinking a cup of coffee, whole place is on fire, and he says, this is fine. This is fine. Oh, we got 320 kids being put into cages every day at my command. This is fine. We got COVID positive illegal aliens being shipped into the interior. This is fine. This is fine. So we have another caller. I don't want to butcher the name. Tania wants to talk about whether we should be rooting out Republicans who I guess are not real conservatives. I'll let her ask the question herself. Tania, welcome to the show.
Hi, it's Tiana.
Oh, yep, Tiana. I asked Mr. Producer whether he got your name right, and I suspected he got it wrong. I'm sorry, Tiana. Ask your question. I don't want to put words in your mouth.
All right, so there was a few articles that popped up on February 23rd about McCarthyism making a comeback in today's society. And I had looked into it, and AOC had tweeted about it, basically calling us sycophants. So they cannot downplay or deny their complicity in the future. And there was a site, and you clicked onto it, and it was, you registered your name or your email address, and then it was a domestic terrorism list if you voted for Trump.
Yeah.
So when you first click it, the Trump supporter, and then once you hit the submit for your email, it says something about a domestic terrorist. You've been added to a domestic terrorist list.
Yeah, I've seen that. So it's probably not real. It's probably not government sponsored, but yeah, they're trying to do stuff like that. That's really gross. But keep going. Sorry.
I just wanted to know what your thoughts are on it.
What they're trying to do, brand us all as domestic terrorists, is pretty terrible. We knew it was going to happen. I didn't think they'd actually get away with it. Every time, I'm always surprised. We know what the left's play is. You're a racist, you're a sexist, you're a bigot, you're a xenophobe. They started going to extremist, you're a Nazi, you're a Klansman, right? All these words. I never thought that they'd actually be able to get to domestic terrorists, because that has a real meaning, and that's a big deal, right? But somehow they've been able to brand us as that. And the media, I mean, that's what happens when you have a leftist media. They eat it up and they just repeat it. It's completely bogus. Your question about whether we need to have a new McCarthyism, is that do you mean to hunt out the leftists, or do you mean to hunt out the Republicans?
No, who that's what really shouldn't be Republicans. Pushing.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. They want to hunt for us. Absolutely. Right. They want to hunt for us. They want our addresses to be public knowledge. I mean, one of the gun control bills that they're even pushing would require everyone to register their guns and then be added to a database that would be made available to the general public. Right. So, yeah, they want to publicize as much of our information as possible so they can cancel us. Right. It's not just Dr. Seuss. They're going after all of us. And we've seen people get canceled, not because they did anything wrong, because they had a son or a daughter who might have done something wrong. And the mom or dad gets fired from their job, right? We talked about this on the show. In California, there was a guy at a car dealership who saved an African-American woman who was getting into a tussle with a crowd. And the media presented him as like he was abducting her. And he got fired from his job. He got vilified. When the real truth came out that, no, he was actually trying to help her, they just all went silent. They ruined the man's life because they wanted to push a narrative instead of the truth. We're seeing that with the Democrats and the media today. They truly are ends justify the means politicians, and they believe that it's okay if they drag all of the conservatives, every conservative, through the mud. They believe that we deserve to be there, right? That's where they think we deserve to be, in the mud, denigrated, reduced to nothing. They are going scorched earth. They have no intention of ever losing another election, whether they do it legitimately or through other means. They want to make it so that we can never again control power. And they're using every tool at their disposal, including branding us a terrorist. It's really disgusting. And if the media had any honesty, they call it that.
Yeah. Well, that was the only question that I had.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for the call, Tiana. I really do appreciate it. Have a good weekend. Again, our call in number 888-441-1121. If you want to call in Open Line Friday, talking about all different types of stuff, We got another clip that I want to play, Mr. Producer. Let me get to it. Well, before we do that, put up image number 3. This is Representative Al Green. Al Green is one of the most partisan Democrats you can possibly find. He's one of the Democrats who first wanted to impeach Trump back when he criticized NFL players for kneeling, right? He's one of those guys. He's like a OG anti-Trumper. This is him sitting on the steps. Put it back up. This is him sitting on the steps of the Capitol yesterday in protest of the QAnon-sponsored insurrection on March 4th. So he said, I'm not going to hide. I'm going to sit out there and I'm going to show all these insurrectionists I'm not afraid of them. And this is the picture that the media ran with. Look at that. He is defying the insurrection. He is defying the domestic terrorists. He is defying the white supremacists. A black man sitting out in the open, no police protection, no bulletproof glass, no bulletproof vest, willing to do whatever it takes to show he's not afraid. Mr. Producer, put up image number 4. This is what it actually looked like. All the way back there, that's him sitting down. And then there's all this empty space. And then there's these military personnel. And then there is a barbed wire fence. He was never in any danger. He was never at risk of anything. There were no insurrectionists there. This is the ultimate, like, troll. I mean, he's not trolling because the media is actually carrying his water on this. They're presenting him as this valiant hero that he stood up to the mob when there's no mob, when he is hundreds of yards away from the nearest person, and the nearest person doesn't wish him any ill will. And the only people who actually showed up were the military and the reporters, hoping to cover a story about insurrection. I saw that. I'm like, really? And then I see that they're actually taking it seriously. And they're actually like, wow, he's so brave. He's so brave. What? But no, that's the left. And yes, that's what happens when the media carries their water. So we talked about how Biden still has no plan to actually discuss with anything with the American people. No press event, no press availability. We had a reporter actually encouraging him to ratchet up the rhetoric, dehumanizing his opponents. We heard the press secretary say that Donald Trump gets no credit for vaccine development, no credit whatsoever. Here is Jen Psaki being asked why Joe Biden is ignoring CDC guidance by flying back home to Wilmington, Delaware, even though the CDC recommends that Americans don't fly. Let's play cut number 3.
The CDC does still urge people not to travel for personal reasons. Obviously, presidential travel is very different than commercial travel, but should the president be doing more to set an example about personal travel during the pandemic?
Well, the president lives in Wilmington. It's his home. That's where he's lived for many, many years. And as you know, as any president of the United States does, he takes a private airplane called Air Force One to travel there. That is, of course, a unique unique from most Americans, but I think most Americans would also see that as a unique circumstance.
Oh, my God. When Donald Trump flew back home to Mar-a-Lago, they accused him of going on vacation. When Joe Biden flies to Wilmington, Delaware, oh, he's going home. And as you know, he has this private plane, this plane that they call Air Force One. Maybe you heard of it. It's just the narrative that they built up for 4 years. They just completely tore it down. Joe Biden is not playing by the same rules as Donald Trump. He never will. He never was. They're not going to hold the same standard. The standards that they built up over the past 4 years were only designed to remove Donald Trump from office. Period. Full stop. So we have another call. We have Zach. Zach wants to talk about the CDC and their wishy-washiness amid endless lockdowns. Zach, welcome to the show.
Hey, Max. How are you?
Good. Be careful. We have to make sure we toe the line and tell everyone, make sure you listen to Dr. Anthony Fauci, the CDC, and the WHO. Okay. What's your beef with the CDC?
So is it just me, or have you kind of picked up on, like, Fauci and the rest of our scientific elite kind of hinting at that the vaccine's not going to basically do anything? Even when you look at it, it has a 90% effectiveness for pretty much all of them that they have come out. Like, is it just me noticing that, or are you noticing it too?
The J&J one's worse. The J&J one, last time I saw, is in the 70s or 80s. I think it's high 70s, their effective rate. Moderna and Pfizer, they're rated in the mid to high 90s after the 2 weeks after the second dose. They just keep upping the definition. We talked about this yesterday, upping the threshold to meet herd immunity, right? So they keep he keeps changing it. He just said that even if everyone was vaccinated, everyone had antibodies, it still wouldn't be safe to go to the movie theater. Well, that's not science. There's no science. No one can say that that's science. If everyone's vaccinated, everyone has the antibodies, and they all get in the same room together, it's a safe environment, right? Personally, the way I look at this, I think these are people who have always been anonymous, who have never held any real power. They've suddenly been given power. And as the old saying goes, absolute power corrupts absolutely. We warned this would happen. They don't want to give up that power. The CDC, these scientists, doctors, have long believed that if only everyone had listened to them, the country would be better off, right? They said that about gun control. Mm-hmm. They said that about smoking. Smoking, they're right. Smoking's bad for you. But gun control, in the 90s, the CDC tried to push gun control as a public health crisis. Doctors have no right to lecture the American people on the Second Amendment, period, full stop. But they've always believed this, that they know better. It's also a very leftist way of thinking, an ivory tower kind of way of thinking. They know better. And if only they were given the reins, they could actually help the country. Well, now they've been given the reins, and there's no surprise they have white knuckles, and they're not going to let go. So I think that's part of it. Maybe they know something about the vaccines we all don't know, but I do believe that the refusal to give up the reins. I mean, Anthony Fauci was presented as a sex symbol for some people last year. He went from being a pretty much anonymous CDC doctor to being like a sex symbol in certain circles. I mean, he doesn't want to give that up. Yeah. He doesn't want to give up throwing out the first pitch at the Nationals game.
So what happens with the optics? Because they have to, like, once the vaccine is rolled out and certain people are either getting the vaccine or we're reaching herd immunity naturally by people just getting COVID and developing the antibodies, what happens at the end when they keep saying the story stay inside, we have to shut it all down, and they just keep going with it? Do you think people are eventually going to be like, well, maybe I got my vaccine. I don't really want to have to wear a mask and do all this stuff that they're telling. Like, I'm fine now to be a normal human being like I was before COVID. Like, that's the thing that I keep thinking about. That's like, I think that's going to be the buckle point for Americans.
It is. Once you get to the point whether you have the protection or not, them telling you that you've been vaccinated, you have the antibodies, right? You are not at risk. We can't say you're immune, because anyone who claims that you're immune gets fact checked. You are not. Once you have the antibodies, once you have the vaccine, at least for a certain amount of time, you are protected in some capacity. Really trying to use the correct language here. Protected in some capacity against serious forms of COVID-19. That would justify hospitalization or being put on a ventilator. Once people are told that, it's going to be really hard. And once people are told that everyone else around them also has reached that point, or almost everyone, or in the case of Texas, as I talked about yesterday, probably north of 50%, it's going to be really hard for them to say that, no, you have to keep wearing a mask. No, kids can't go to school, right? Oh, no, you can't go to the gym. Right? I mean, these are very arbitrary things that we were told, trust the science, follow the science. They never actually produced scientific reports that gyms were dangerous. If you notice, they never did it. And all of the reports actually said, well, actually, the gyms aren't really a vector for disease transmission. The gyms are actually doing a pretty good job wiping down the seats, enforcing masks. They want to stay open. They never proved it. So as we're going to have people getting pissed off that saying, wait, what? You're moving the goalposts. We're also going to have the actual studies revealing that no, these restrictions really probably weren't necessary all along. Yeah, there's going to be significant pushback. And that's why I think you're seeing states starting to reduce their restrictions. Even Connecticut is rolling back their attendance caps, their occupancy caps in restaurants and businesses, right? So you're going to see all these pressures combined, and then it's going to be up. Sorry?
I said the only argument they have is, what about killing grandma? And it's like, well, once all the vaccines have been out and grandma can get vaccinated, if grandma chooses to be vaccinated, then that argument evaporates. And then what's the brainwashing that they can use at that point? Because it's like, I get people can't think for their own, but it's got to fall apart at some, like, this can't be the new norm for real. Like, can it?
Yeah. Well, both of my grandparents live in Florida and they got vaccinated. And I know that DeSantis, I might be off, but I think he said that half of all seniors in Florida have either already been vaccinated or they've been offered the vaccine and turned it down, right? So, and they expect to finish it within a month or two, right? So in Florida, they were told that if you open up, if you don't enforce mask mandates, everyone's going to die. We hear that over and over and over again. You're going to kill grandma. You're going to kill us all. Well, the bodies aren't piling up in the streets. So at some point, we call BS on that. We look at places like Texas and Florida that have reopened responsibly, and there isn't a body count that just in their wake. So yeah, all of these things is going to be very hard. But you have, Zach, you have county health commissioners who, if you walk by them on the street, you'd have no idea who they are. They've now been given near total power in many parts of the country to decide who is allowed to be in business, who is allowed to go where, how many people can go into a room. Usually it's been the fire marshal that determines occupancy limits. These people came out of nowhere and like, oh no, I get to decide how commerce works. These people have become drunk with power. And I think you're going to see some very terrifying stuff when you try and wrestle that power away from them. You're going to see them coming up with new things like, oh, this new strain. Nope, we have to lock them back down because the strain is 5% deadlier or something like that, right? There's always going to be another virus. Now that they've tasted what that power tastes like, they're going to try and push this stuff nonstop.
I have one final kind of question kind of following up on this. And that's as this immigration thing explodes, have you got to see, because I saw in that press release you just put of Jen Psaki, she was saying that they have like a plan drafted and everything. Has anyone actually seen it, or is it available to the public yet, or is that still behind doors?
It's not. And that's kind of the moving goalposts of terminology. When Donald Trump publishes like a 100-page document on COVID response, Joe Biden stands on a debate stage and says he has no plan and no one fact checks him, right? But when they have no plan, don't release anything, they're able to say we have a plan and just the media just lets them get away with it, right? There's a double standard. There's a double standard here. They have no plan. And when Joe Biden was asked, did he have a briefing? He said yes. And the only thing he was willing to tell people was that he learned a lot. The potatoes learned a lot.
Their meal ticket that's for COVID. The COVID infections, that's where it's going to come. Like, as Americans get vaccinated, that's where it's going to come from. Is as we reach herd immunity, as they keep transplacing these people into the community where back home they're not vaccinated and they don't have that protection. Whether you believe in the vaccine or not, I know everyone's got their own opinion on that, but if it's 90% effective, if they're not vaccinated back home and they bring that here, then all of a sudden the people who are not vaccinated, they'll start being like, COVID's on the rise, look out. Everybody, we have to lock down again. Like, I think that's what they're planning for.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And like, there's a reason, right? When you look at somewhere like Dearborn, Michigan, and you see that they have like a spike in measles or a spike in some other disease that we have in the past vaccinated against, we know that where there are immigrant communities, refugee communities, that tends to be, at least in today's day and age, where disease spikes occur. And I'm talking about diseases that the rest of the population or a majority of the population is already vaccinated against. So the concept of just unrestricted immigration bringing diseases into the country is well-founded. It is well-documented, right? And we've already seen that, yes, migrants are testing positive after they've already been released by the feds. So it's absolutely true that they have this virus and are just walking around taking buses all over the country. It's going to be Joe Biden. The Biden administration says it's racist to suggest that they are spreading the virus through open borders. But they're the ones who lifted Donald Trump's Title 42 declaration, which closed the border for health reasons. They're trying to straddle the fence. Say it's an emergency, but not emergency enough to close the border, which you can't square that circle.
It's the doublespeak, man. They love using it.
Yeah. No, they are experts at doublespeak. And when the media is willing to provide them political cover, they can get away with it. They absolutely can.
Crazy. Well, thanks for your time, man. I appreciate it. That's all I got.
Oh, thanks for the call. Have a good weekend, Zach. Thanks for calling.
Yeah, you too, man.
Again, our number 888-441-1121, open line Friday. Talking about anything, talk about what we've already talked about, issues, talking about other things. You have questions, concerns, comments, news about earth-shaking events, feel free to call in 888-441-1121. 1121 and we'll be happy to take your call. Didn't get a chance. I wasn't feeling that well a couple days this week. Didn't get that a chance to listen to all of the voicemails. But if you're listening to this podcast after the fact, also you can call in 888-441-1121. And we should have our voicemail set up so you can leave us a message. And I'll listen to those over the weekend and we'll play a couple of them on Monday. Don't want to think that you have to be listening live to be able to get on the air. So feel free to leave us a message and we will make sure that we get you on. Now, it's crazy stuff because it's crazy stuff because as Zach was mentioning, as I was mentioning, you have these health officials who have become drunk with power. Like they actually enjoy. I'm going to see if I can find it, Mr. Producer. There was a woman did a happy dance. Let's see if I can find it. She was in California. She did a happy dance after she closed a brewery. I want to find it. Ms. Bruce, see if you can find it. A woman did a happy dance. She was a health official in California sent to close a brewery down for allegedly violating. Okay, I found it. Oh, I don't want to do it on RT. They'll accuse me of being a Russian shill. Let's see if I can Daily Mail. They might be able to have it. Yeah, here we go. Okay, so I'm going to put it up on screen. Come on. Okay, Mr. Producer, put up my screen. So this is a woman who has just notified this brewery in California that they have to close down. She actually ended up being wrong. The thing she was citing to justify closing them down was not true. They were not in violation. And once her manager got involved, they were allowed to stay open. They weren't having any in-person consumption. It was all to go, like growlers and things like that. So this is what they caught it on their security footage. And this is a loop. She's doing a happy dance celebrating that she just thinks she shut this business down. This is just one health inspector. Imagine being so heartless that you actually start dancing to the music playing in the bar that you think you just shut down. And not necessarily just for the day, think you shut down long term. Let's see if we play the video. That's just the... Oh, no, it's an ad. Take it down, Mr. Producer. Don't want to play the ad. No free ads. No free ads. She's doing a happy dance. I mean, that's sick stuff, people. That's really sickening. So when I say that she is... When these people are consumed by the new power, they really are. And they've been conditioned to believe that they actually are saving the world. That every business, every livelihood they ruin is a life saved. Even if they have no evidence to support that at all. It's going to be damn hard to wrestle this power away from them. And the teachers unions? The teachers unions have spent decades declaring that they're essential. That they need to be paid more because they're essential in teaching the next generation of children. Now you have teachers unions demanding the vaccine. And when they're given the vaccine, they say that's still not good enough. We're not going to go to work unless Congress just bails out the entire teachers' pension programs and things like that. So you're never going to stop hearing from the teachers union. Now that they know how long it takes to get what they want, right? Teachers unions have always gone on strike and forced people to feel pain. And then they put pressure on the politicians. So the teachers union gets what they want. But here we were talking about pretty much nationwide, no kids in school, right? They now know the formula to get what they want. So they can't ever hold themselves as essential. Because remember, when this all went down, the teachers were still paid. They went online. And everyone else would say, oh, you're an essential worker. You have to go to work. You have to go to work. You're an essential worker. When it came time for the teachers to do the same, they said, actually, no, I want a raise to not do that. So yeah, you're never going to be able to get the teachers union to play ball again. They now know what it takes. So you look at all of that, right? Democrats now understand that anytime there's a respiratory virus, they can just suspend the Second Amendment. That's what happened in California. It's what happened in New York, happened in New Jersey for a time. A respiratory virus, they got away. There were lawsuits that were dismissed. They said, well, there's a respiratory virus. We can make it illegal to go into a gun store. I mean, how do you have a Second Amendment if it can be rescinded or delayed because of the existence of a respiratory virus, right? There's no right to keep and bear arms if a cough or the sniffles can allow them to violate it. It's not a right, that becomes a privilege. First Amendment, free assembly, right? They've got us for a whole year not gathering in large groups. So, well, no, there's a virus. I guarantee you the next time that flu season comes around, they're going to try and do the same stuff. Right? Even though the flu disappeared this year. There's no flu. No one has the flu. Well, no, don't want to get fact checked. Very few people have the flu. A shockingly low number of people have the flu, meaning they probably are just being diagnosed as COVID. Because remember, in order to be diagnosed as COVID, you don't necessarily need a COVID test. You can actually just have a doctor look at your symptoms and determine it's COVID. Yeah, no, it's more than white noise on YouTube. Comment section says, don't get me started on teachers unions with a period after every word. Yes, no, I don't want to get you started on teachers unions, but teachers unions are so evil. They're so very, very evil. So you look at all of this. They have basically figured out that the way they get everything they want is just to claim there's a respiratory virus. Use the respiratory virus. Everything the Democrats have ever wanted, they succeeded in one way, shape, or form over the past year. Not permanent, right? They didn't get rid of the Second Amendment forever, but they were able to stop people from buying guns when they really needed them during the middle of the race riots, right? Stop people from arming themselves. They figured out that, yes, they can get away with it as long as they present a respiratory virus as a greater evil. And they stop you from going to church. People missed Easter, Christmas, and then Easter again. Think about that. Easter, the holiest day in the Christian calendar. There were Christians in California who missed Easter twice and then weren't allowed to celebrate Christmas either. Yeah. I mean, you look at life expectancy, it's only 1 year. Well, no, faith is important. The idea of just stopping anyone from exercising their faith for an entire year because it's a respiratory virus, yeah, no, it's going to get a lot worse. Now that they know how to do it, it's going to get a lot worse. We have another caller, Lynn, wants to talk about how she has never heard a president put so many people in categories and use derogatory names. Yeah, no, you're probably right. Lynn, welcome to the show.
Hi, how you doing?
Pretty good. How are you?
Nice to talk to you.
Good to talk to you.
Yeah, I was wondering, you know, I never hear a president, you know, that one, and call his Americans different names, like putting us in different categories just because he doesn't like what we do or we don't like what he's doing.
Yeah, well, I mean, Obama criticized conservatives saying
that
couldn't cling to our gods, guns and religion, right? So he did that. Hillary Clinton didn't win, but she called everyone the deplorables. Donald Trump used it sometime. Like he said, the media is the enemy of the people. He said MS-13 were animals, right? So he used some of that, but he wasn't trying to go after liberals as a whole. Like he didn't say, oh, if you're a liberal, you're a Neanderthal, right? You're subhuman intellect, not deserving of human rights protections. That's what Neanderthal means. If you're not human, then it's not murder, right? You don't see other presidents calling people who disagree with them politically subhuman. I don't think I've ever heard that before. And the fact that the reporter, we played the clip earlier, actually encouraged the president to go further than that, it's disgusting.
Yeah.
Are you still there?
Yes. I was just thinking he was categorizing us as one name, and then he continues every time something happens. It's like people are going to have these long names, you know, one after the other.
Oh, yeah. No.
Because
I'm sure if they
people
didn't come
in
off,
Texas,
he'd just start.
The most.
Yeah. Yeah. No. I mean, this is the man who called a woman a lying dog faced pony soldier, which I still don't know what that means. Right.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
Yeah. 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 Lying dog faced pony soldier for saying that she has attended a caucus in the past. Which she admitted that she didn't in the past. She doesn't know why she said that. But he has, like, it's such a weird thing to just call a questioner. There was another point in time where someone on the campaign trail last year questioned Joe Biden about his son, Hunter. And if you actually listen to the tape, when Joe Biden responded, he said, "Listen, fat," F-A-T. He called him just fat. "Listen, fat." And then he went into his attack. I mean, this is the president who says he's going to unify the country, but every time he opens his mouth, he's trying to rip it further apart.
Yes, that's how I feel. That's how I feel. And one other thing, doesn't the Congress and the senators see what's going on? He can't even talk, do a presentation, answer questions now, and they shut off the TV, leave the video cut.
Yeah.
Yes. It's like,
so
what are they doing about it? I don't hear them complaining about it. Just people around me, you know?
Yeah. So right before Trump left office, Nancy Pelosi was pushing a new bill that would have allowed Congress to play a bigger role in the 25th Amendment. That's the process of removing a president who is unfit for office. Usually not in terms of unfit that he has bad policies. Usually means medically or mentally. Well, in that case, it would also be medically unfit. Like he's unable physically or mentally to perform his duties. So Nancy Pelosi wanted to do that to make it easier to take Trump out of office. Notice that they're not pushing it anymore. They're not pushing for that now that you actually have, I call him the potatoes, a president who has a potato for a brain. They're not actually pushing it for him. So in order for him to get removed, it would have to be led by Kamala Harris, the majority of the cabinet, and then Congress would have to be okay with it. So yeah, I mean, if he keeps doing this,
the Democrats, and he
you might see it.
Yeah, because you don't really hear from the Democrats on TV much. I always see the Republicans with the interviews.
Oh, well, Democrats do interviews, but they're not talking about their own president's mental shortcomings, right? They're talking about the non-existent insurrection.
Yes. Yes. I think that the news should push it. I think Australia did a news segment on it.
Australia's news has done an excellent job of covering things like Hunter Biden, Joe Biden's mental problems that the media won't cover. They've done an excellent job at it. But yeah, I don't know. I mean, we saw a little bit from Politico reporting that Joe Biden had a hard time remembering specifics during the campaign. It's going to be harder and harder for reporters to have that scoop and sit on it for political reasons. It's going to become harder and harder for them to do it. So I hope that they actually do their job and don't act as partisans, act as journalists, and tell the American people the truth, because you know there are people who know, right? Joe Biden cannot be this bad. We only see what they allow the public to see. I guarantee you, anyone who has had a loved one suffer from these kind of degenerative diseases, they know that if it looks bad in public, it's 100 times worse behind the scenes, especially on the bad days. So it's just going to be up to one of those reporters, one of those White House staffers, to do the right thing for the country and to leak the truth. Whether that's going to happen, I don't have a lot of faith in it, but they should. Give you one final thought before we let you go.
Oh, I just wanted to say thank you for taking my call. That's all. Okay.
Oh, well, thank you so much for calling in. I really do appreciate it. Have a great weekend. Have a great weekend, Lynn. We might have time for one more caller. 888-441-1121 if you want to join the show quickly before we end it. As I mentioned, tomorrow we're going to have a podcast. I'm probably going to pre-record it. I might do it live. Probably. Well, even if I pre-record, I still have to sit here and push play. So I might as well just do it live tomorrow on the morality of the COVID-19 vaccines. Not from whether or not they are effective, not from whether or not they're tested enough. The morality from the perspective that all three of the ones available in the United States, at some point in the process of development, testing, or whatever, have relied on cell lines. I want to make sure I get this correct. Cell lines that can be traced back to abortions. So there were abortions, babies were killed, their bodies were harvested, kind of like what we hear Planned Parenthood was doing. And then they kept reproducing the fetal cells. And they've reproduced millions of times, and now they use those to test the virus, to grow virus really unethical stuff. So we're going to talk tomorrow about the moral implications of the vaccine, what it means. I'm a Catholic. The Catholic Church has come out heavily against the Johnson & Johnson vaccine. So we're going to be talking about that tomorrow at our normal time, 2 p.m. Eastern. Make sure you tune in for that. Yeah, it's going to be, Zach's asking, is it going to be history? It's going to be a little bit of history, explaining the history of fetal cell research, the history of how vaccines use those types of cells for development and testing, and more of like a philosophy, theology, morality kind of approach to it. So definitely make sure you tune in for that. We'll be live on Facebook and YouTube. And I don't know if I can do the, I'll try and do DLive. I'll try, but probably just Facebook and YouTube tomorrow. So make sure you check that out. Well, that's going to be it for this edition of the Conservative Daily Podcast. If you like the podcast, we had Lauren Boebert on today. Big deal. We're trying to get more guests like that. So make sure you like and follow our Facebook page, subscribe, hit the bell for notifications on YouTube, and follow us on DLive. Very important. Anyone still around on DLive, you're about to get some lemons. I don't want to leave any lemons in the lemon box. Make sure you also subscribe to the audio version of the podcast on Apple Podcasts. Leave us a good 5-star review. You can also subscribe on Google Podcasts, Spotify, Pandora, iHeartRadio, TuneIn, or Podbean. All great places. Help us bump up those numbers so we can get more advertisers. Very, very important. We're on Gab TV, Rumble. The episodes the last 3 days, I'm going to be putting them up on those channels today. I've been getting over a stomach bug, so it's been a little hard. But I'm going to get those up. Make sure you check us out on those channels as well. Lots of different places. Check out all the links in our description. We might be banned at any moment on any of these platforms, so it's important for you to diversify and know how to reach us in case that ban hammer comes down. Well, that's going to be it for this edition of the Conservative Daily Podcast. My name is Max McGuire. Happy Friday, everyone. Remember that the fight to take back our country isn't even close to over yet, but the only way we win is if we all stand up and fight together.